Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 88 for the February 2015 previews. Now, in this episode, we'll be going over some of the items and previews you might find interesting, and these episodes have an open submission policy. Now, what that means is we define interesting as somebody thought enough about this item to send in a clip. I encourage everyone to send in clips. The more different viewpoints, the more different titles we talk about on these episodes, the better the episodes are. This is one of the ways I find out about new things or make decisions on things I'm thinking about but just haven't decided on. Now, there are thousands of items in previews each and every month, so it's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. Again, that's why I do these episodes. Now, as always, we're going to be starting at the beginning of previews and working our way to the back. Obviously, we're not going to go item by item, page by page, or even publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights, and those highlights are picked by people like you. If when the next round of solicits comes out, and frankly, some of that's already going to be online by the time this episode goes up, and you think, wow, people ought to check this out, spend a few minutes, record a short audio clip, send it to me, I'll include it in the next preview spotlight. So, without further ado, let's start listening to some clips.
Kyle and Drew here with Comics for Fun and Profit, and we're looking through Dark Horse, and we find Rebels number 1, written by Brian Wood, art by Andrei Muti, Jordi Belair on colors, because that's what always seems to happen, Tulalote on the cover of this one. It's an ongoing. In a rush of great public resistance to an oppressed and excessive government, a homegrown militia movement is formed in rural America. This is not 2015, but 1775. With the war for independence playing out across the colonies, young Seth and Mercy Abbott find their new marriage tested at every turn as the demands of the front lines and the home front collide. Live free or die. So this looks like the beginning of the Revolutionary War, because Revolutionary War started in 1775.
It's got a lot of things going for it in my book. I'm really excited about Brian Wood getting another creator. Well, I don't know if it's a creator, and he's working for Dark Horse, but another Dark Horse vehicle because... he lost Star Wars to the
Marvel machine.
The Marvel machine. So this will fill that Dark Horse void. We'll see what he can do with the Revolutionary Era. I feel a Manifest Destiny-ish vibe to this.
Uh-huh. So you think they're going to run into big buffalo tars and giant mosquitoes?
No, but the historical aspect.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
The historical characters, the art that I'm looking at, I think it might have some high-quality art in it, and I look forward to checking it out because I like a lot of the stuff Brian Wood writes.
So. Yeah, and for me, the biggest appeal of this is I kind of am a history buff. I like history, so the American Revolution aspect of it makes it an intriguing concept for myself.
Yeah, it'll be cool if it makes it exciting.
Yeah, so I'm not reading much from Dark Horse, so this will be a breath of fresh air. So Comics for Fun and Profit is going to be picking up Rebels, number 1, written by Brian Wood, coming out in April from Dark Horse.
Hey guys and gals, this is Chris Brawlinator Brawley with another issue of Previews, and my first pick is from the Dark Horse section on page 44. You remember that time that Archie Andrews and the Riverdale crew met the Punisher? By now we've all been made aware of the popular afterlife with Archie zombie tales, but I am convinced that Archie Comics is determined to make sure that those stories don't go down in history as their most unusual events or crossover. A big contender for the mashup you never knew you wanted? This story was originally called Archie Meets Predator back at the last New York Comic Con, but now it's been retitled Archie vs. Predator. And the preview art here looks wonderful, whimsical, it looks fun. It's America's favorite teen against the galaxy's fiercest hunter. Archie and the gang are in Costa Rica for spring break, where the parties and the beach volleyball are soon replaced by the most dangerous game. Whose skulls and spines will become trophies among the Predator's collection? And how can Archie and his friends hope to survive against an alien with weapons almost beyond human comprehension? how many kids will the Predator claim before the gang even realizes they're in danger? I think the biggest threat Archie's ever faced is detention by Mr. Weatherby or the machinations of Mr. Lodge. This is written by Alex DeCampi with art by Fernando Ruiz. The miniseries will be taking the once teen-friendly Archie comics and possibly slaughtering all of its characters with Predators. DeCampi, of course, is well known for her miniseries Smoke over at IDW and her manga series Cat and Mouse, as well as a short stint on Wonder Woman at DC. In an interview online, DeCampi said that the Archie people asked her to make it as gory as possible. So there you have it. Another shattering of our preconceived notions about Archie and the gang, which seems to be the go-to model at Archie Comics right now. I love the Predator property, and who doesn't love Archie? I'm in, so take my money, Dark Horse. Join the hunt on page 44 in this month's previews.
My first clip is on page 50. It's Resident Alien, the Sam Hain Mystery number 0. This is a $3.99 miniseries from Dark Horse Comics. It is, I think, the third or maybe fourth within the Resident Alien series of miniseries. It is around a doctor who is an alien, but he's posing as a local country doctor or whatever. The government is starting to close in on him. We're going to start to learn more about his home planet and his first couple of months on Earth. It's a fun, in the past it's been kind of a murder mystery whodunit thing with him as the country doctor who solves the crime or whatever. And it's got a nice kind of down-to-earth feeling, which is kind of ironic given it features an alien. But it's got a nice sensibility to it. It's something that, you know, take a police procedural, and if you wanted to throw it on the Sci-Fi Channel, how would you tweak it up? This kind of fits that bill. It's a lot of fun, definitely worth checking out. And as a comic book page pick of the month, it's got a 50% discount through DCBS. So once again, Resident Alien, the Sam Hain Mystery number 0 on page 50. Check it out.
Hey guys, TJ back here for another month of previews, and my first pick is on page 51 of the Dark Horse section. It is called The Hero Book 1 Hardcover with art and writing by David Rubin. This is a modern day retelling of Hercules from when he was born to when he was growing up to when he was doing his 12 labors. But what really got me interested in this book is the fact that it's by David Rubin. And why, you ask? Because David Rubin was the artist on Aurora West, the follow-up to Paul Pope's Battling Boy. And I think he's going to be doing another one in the Aurora West series. So I was just really impressed with the art from Aurora West. I really liked his style and his kinetic storytelling. And it turns out that he has a number of works that they're bringing over to Dark Horse and publishing in English. So this is one of the first ones, The Hero Book 1. So if you're interested in some more great art from David Rubin, check out page 51 of the Dark Horse section.
This is Derek from the Comics Alternative Podcast, and I'm back this month on John's Comic Book Page Preview Show to share with you some of the things that I'm really looking forward to and can be found in the February Previews catalog. My very first pick is in the Dark Horse section, and it is on page 71, Grip, The Strange World of Men. This is by Gilbert Hernandez. This is going to be a hardcover edition that collects the original 5 issues of Grip that was published a number of years ago by Vertigo. So this is a strange comic. If you're not familiar with the work of Gilbert Hernandez and his brother Jaime, most notably and famously for their series Love and Rockets, I think this would be a pretty good introduction to tell you about the kind of writer-artist that Gilbert Hernandez is. It's a very strange story, and for example, let me share with you the solicit. When Mike Chang wakes up with nothing but a lipstick smudge, someone else's suit, and amnesia, he's thrown into a world of criminal gangs, crime fighters, skin swappers, and a one-eyed girl with bizarre powers. That's right, you heard correctly, Skin Swappers. This is a very strange comic. The narrative goes a little this way, a little that way, but never meanders in a non-productive manner. It's just a strange story. Now, Gilbert Hernandez, as I mentioned, is primarily known for his more realistic narratives, the Palomar stories and such that you can find in Love and Rockets. But here is Gilbert melding those realistic narratives along with a more fantastical and experimental side that you can find in a lot of his work to give us Grip, the strange world of men. So definitely check out page 71 for the new collection from Gilbert Hernandez. This is Derek again from the Comics Alternative Podcast. My next pick of the month is on page 76 and again in the Dark Horse section. EC Archives, Tales from the Crypt, Volume 1, Hardcover. Now, those of you who listen to John's preview shows every month know that I do a pretty good job, I think, at highlighting whenever there is a new EC Archives collection from Dark Horse. And as I've mentioned in the past, these are now collected and put out by Dark Horse. But previously and originally, this series, at least in its most current incarnation, was put out by Gemstone for a few years. And then for two volumes, GC Press, and then about 2 years ago, Dark Horse picked up where Gemstone and GC Press left off. Now, what's notable about this solicit is that they're resoliciting one of the very first volumes that Gemstone originally collected and put out in their EC archives, which now Dark Horse has inherited. So if you have the original Gemstone EC archives, Tales from the Crypt, Volume 1 hardcover, such as I, you may not want to get this one, but that one from Gemstone is now out of press. So it's good to know now that not only is Dark Horse coming out, or has it been coming out with these new EC archive volumes, but now they're going back to put into print what Gemstone and then later GC Press started to put out there. So you can find this solicit on page 76 of the February catalog if you're a fan of EC comics, if you're a fan of horror, if you're a fan of really nice quality archival editions, then you definitely have to check this out.
My next pick is on page 82. It's Convergence number 1 from DC Comics. This is the 2-month event. This is the main miniseries for the 2-month event they're doing as DC moves from New York to Burbank. This is a weekly comic. This is the first of the 8 issues. 2, 3, and 4 are also solicited here on page 82 and 83 of the previews catalog. This is them finally diving into the multiverse. We're going to see a lot of different characters from different titles, from different worlds. They mentioned the Injustice series. They mentioned Earth 2. They mentioned heroes from Crisis, Zero Hour, Elseworlds, etc. This is the start of, I think, a big game changer at DC. They've already released information that'll be in the next previews, or maybe even the previews after that, for titles they're going to come out with after Convergence. So if you're looking for something that's just a good couple of weeks read, this is worth checking out. If you're missing long lost characters from previous continuities, either Convergence or some of the related miniseries they've got this month are worth checking out. In either case, this is, I think, going to be a big deal. This is written by Jeff King. I believe this is some of his first comic book work, but I could be wrong on that. But this is going to be definitely the thing to be checking out during this month and next of the solicits and stuff. So really, during April and May, DC is all about Convergence, and this is going to be everything they published by and large for the superhero universe, much like Flashpoint and stuff was at that point. So once again, it's Convergence number 1. It's a 40-page comic. It's a $4.99 cover price. It is a comic book page pick of the month, which means we've got a 50% discount through DCBS. So, once again, Convergence number 1 on page 82. Check it out.
Kyle and Drew here with Comics for Fun and Profit, and we are in the DC portion of your previews guide, and we're looking at Convergence, Nightwing, and Oracle. Number 1. Now, this is new for me because we've got a Nightwing written by Gail Simone. I like Gail Simone, but I don't know how she's going to do it. Nightwing, one of my favorite characters, of course. And we're kicking back to Nightwing and Oracle. pre-New 52. Drew, what are your thoughts on this?
I like the Oracle character a lot. I have this three-issue miniseries of hers, this Oracle miniseries, which I like. I'm not really sure that a lot of the differences between like pre-Nightwing and New 52 Nightwing.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, Oracle was in a wheelchair from the Killing Joke stuff. And so Barbara Gordon's in a wheelchair, and that doesn't happen in New 52. So there's a very stark difference.
Yeah, it'll be definitely
between her character there, and she was kind of like the assistant for Batman, and she like did all the computer stuff and helped them out that way, and was a cool character, very cool character. Not that she's not cool as Batgirl now, she's also very cool. This should be a neat little experiment, and Gail Simone will handle it very well because she's handled Batgirl very well. I don't know if she's ever had any experience with Nightwing, but I am really psyched for this one and looking forward to this little two-issue mini convergence stuff and see what happens there and see where it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Nightwing we've been dealing with for New 52 and on, we've kind of got a post-relationship version of what is Batgirl and Nightwing's relationships, and now we're going back to more of the middle of that romance, and we're going to kind of see a little bit more than that. So, definitely excited. Comics for Fun and Profit is definitely picking up Convergence, Nightwing Oracle, number one from DC Comics.
This is Mo, Dr. Mo, on the forum here with my first submission for Previews Spotlight. The first book I am plugging is Convergence, New Teen Titans number 1 from DC Comics. This comic can be found on page 110 of Previews. Convergence, New Teen Titans, or CNTT, features a lineup from the George Perez, Marv Wolfman, pre-crisis era of the 1980s. How can you go wrong with a lineup featuring Nightwing, Starfire, Cyborg, Changeling, Wonder Girl, and Jericho? Like most of the Convergence miniseries, New Teen Titans takes place under a domed city and has the team squaring off against the Tangent Universe's Doom Patrol. This would not be a true 1980s New Teen Titans comic without Marv Wolfman scripting the issue. Stepping in for George Perez is Nicola Scott. Miss Scott is one of my favorite DC artists in recent years. She wrapped up a great run on Earth 2 in 2014. In my opinion, New Teen Titans and the comic featured in my next clip were some of the best titles DC published during the 1980s. This nostalgia trip will cost you $3.99 and can be found on page 110 in the DC section. Titans together! This is Mo, Dr. Mo, on the forum for my second Preview Spotlight submission. Convergence, Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes, can be found on page 111 of Previews. This comic is written by Stuart Moore and illustrated by Gus Storms, the creative team behind the Image series Egos. Egos reminds me of the 5-year later version of the Legion of Superheroes. In Convergence, Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes, the Boy of Steel, along with his Legion pals, try to break through the dome. However, they face the wrath of the Atomic Knights. Writer Stuart Moore is a former editor for Vertigo and Marvel who worked on the Legion during the Wade Kitson era. Gus Storms is an interesting artistic choice. Personally, Storms' work does not invoke Keith Giffen, Steve Lytle, or Greg LaRocque, my favorite Legion artists of the 1980s. However, Storms' artwork does remind me of Jason Pearson, who penciled the Legion of Superheroes during the early 1990s. Currently, DC is not publishing an ongoing Legion of Superheroes title. Subsequently, longtime Legion fans, such as me, have to seize the opportunity whenever they are presented. If you need your Legion fix, check out Convergence, Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes, on page 111 of Previews. Long live the Legion!
Well, my next pick is on page 124 of the DC section of Previews. Following the digital first format of the Batman 66 comic, it's everyone's favorite star-spangled superheroine, Wonder Woman 77, inspired by the 70s hit TV show starring the stunning Linda Carter. Written by Mark Andraco and illustrated by various artists, Wonder Woman 77 follows the second season of the television show, which began airing in 1977, and moved Diana Prince's action from World War II to the 70s. And it's the 70s era satin-tided Wonder Woman being revived for this series. I am quite fond of the Wonder Woman TV series because not only was I a young lad when the show was on the air, I think it really paid respect to the comic character in a serious manner with a sense of humor. It wasn't dark or pretentious. Linda Carter made the show work, and her portrayal was elegant, respectful, and classy. There should be plenty of characters and settings that never showed up on the TV show, as well as many fan favorites. I've heard Mark Andreyko is using villains from the DC comic book canon that never appeared on the show, so we're sure to see what certain villains would have looked like had they appeared back in the 70s TV series. I expect we'll see many familiar faces, and if this book goes well, which I hope it does, I expect DC will do a Batman 66 Wonder Woman 77 crossover, and then DC will have even more of my money. Oh, it's been a while. So while one corner of the DC universe is hammering convergence and slamming every single timeline they've ever had together for one big summer showdown, we can travel back in time to the sizzling 70s as the undercover Amazon princess joins forces with Special Agent Steve Trevor to defend America against Cold War era criminals. This first arc says a search for an escaped Soviet scientist brings Wonder Woman to the hottest disco of the day, Studio 52. A live stage act might prove more of a threat to Wonder Woman than the Russian roller derby girls out to bring the scientist home. The book will be coming out quarterly. The covers for this series are provided by Nicola Scott, and they look great. See them for yourself on page 124 of this month's previews catalog. Just what this fanboy ordered.
Really, there's not much more for me to add over what Chris said there than it's got a $7.99 cover price. It's a comic book page pick of the month, which gives it a 50% discount through DCBS, dropping that down to around $4. Wonder Woman 77 special number one looks like a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it, so check it out.
This is Derek from the Comics Alternative podcast, and in the catalog, after you've waded through all of the convergence stuff that my fellow preview show colleagues have been pointing out, you'll find on page 140 in the Vertigo section, Vertigo Quarterly, SFX number one. This will include the work of such creators as Peter Milligan, Laurie Penny, Hope Larson, David Winnick, Jim Zub, Lauren Petty, Nathan Fox, and it goes on and on. So there are a lot of contributors here, and this is an anthology. This is, following in the footsteps of last year's Vertigo Quarterly that they had, with where you had the cyan, the red, yellow, and then the black that just recently came out. Now they're going to do something with not color, but with sound. And you can find out what they mean by this by just reading the solicit. It starts off, pop, slam, crack, bang. Sound effects bring that extra bit of vibrancy to an already exciting comics page! Following the success of Vertigo's CMYK quarterly anthology, which explored the four colors that make up a comic book, we continue to push the boundaries of storytelling, short storytelling, with 2015's SFX quarterly anthology. Comics luminaries will converge, a key word, I guess, this month, with the next generation of talent as they interpret four different sound effects, leading to mind-bending innovations in story and art. You know, I was a little lukewarm when it came to the Vertigo Quarterly, the CMYK. Now, I can as with any anthology from DC or from other publishers, there are going to be some hits, there are going to be some misses. So I thought that they were okay. But whereas I can see grouping stories according to various colors, thematically, visually, or what have you, I'm going to be curious to see what they're doing with sound and the sound effects. And I'm assuming the pop, slam, crack, and bang, since there are four of those sound effects in the solicit, they may be the basis of each of the four issues. I don't know, because the solicit doesn't tell me. I guess I'll have to get this first issue to find out. So if you want to find out more about Vertigo Quarterly SFX number one, then go to page 140 of the February previews catalog.
Next up on page 158 is Uncle Scrooge number one from IDW. This is the first title of the returning Disney comics on a monthly basis. This month we get Uncle Scrooge number one. Starting in May we get Donald Duck. Starting in June we also get Mickey Mouse added to the mix. Then In July, we add Walt Disney Comics and Stories. Starting August, they get enough, they're going to start doing some trade paperbacks. But I think they're going to just have the four ongoing monthly titles of Uncle Scrooge, Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, and Walt Disney Comics and Stories. And this is, again, monthly, and it's at IDW. So everyone who thought when these titles left Boom that it was a foregone conclusion they would go to Marvel, well, turned out not to be the case. And IDW has done some great stuff with licensed properties before. I've got no reason to think they won't continue doing some excellent work in this regard. I got onto the Uncle Scrooge stuff when it was over at Boom. I tried the other titles. They were all right. Uncle Scrooge is the one I like the most. So that's the one I'm going to be checking out. And we'll see next month and the month after if I decide to check out Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, and or the Walt Disney Comics and Stories. Walt Disney Comics and Stories is going to pick up the original numbering of that title, which will be number 721 in July. All the others are starting with new number ones, though. They are, or at least Uncle Scrooge, is a 48-page, $3.99 comic, so we should get some good-sized stories there. And we've got a 50% discount through DCBS because it's comic book page pick of the month. That drops that price to a bit more around, you know, $2.99. Anyways, I think the Uncle Scrooge stuff is a lot of fun. If you haven't read The Life and Times of Uncle Scrooge, that's well worth checking out. And just, it's fun all-ages comics. So, once again, Uncle Scrooge number one from IDW on page 158. Check it out. Next up on page 166 is Empire Uprising number one by Mark Waid and Barry Kitson, published by IDW. This is the start of the IDW Thrillbent partnership, where they're taking some of the digital stuff from Thrillbent and, you know, printing it over at IDW. It's a great idea, great concept. This is a book that Mark Waid did ages ago, or Empire is, and they've got also on this page the trade paperback of the first volume. It's basically what do you do when you've got a villain that's taken over the world and they've won, and, well, they're kind of bored with that. It's not really what they thought it was going to be. So with Volume 2 here, Empire Uprising, it's been a year since the events of the original Empire. Much has changed, and the first superhero to conquer the world. Can he hold on to that reign, and does he even want to? Haven't read any of this stuff over at Thrillbent. I did read the first stuff when it was first published ages ago, with the first volume. Well worth checking out. I'm very excited about this. Mark Waid, when he's on his A-game, and he usually is, just does some terrific work. I have no doubt that this will be more of the same. Barry Kitson, an amazing artist, so just a great combination. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS on this, so that takes the cover price of $3.99, puts it right there around that $2 price point. So hopefully that's enough for you guys to check it out. Once again, Empire Uprising number one from IDW and Thrillbent on page 166.
Hey guys, my next selection is on page 167 of the IDW section, and this is The Infinite Loop, number one, with writing by Perrick Collinet and art by Elsa Chartier. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it. What really drew me to this, it looks kind of like a time-traveling science fiction adventure, is the art. And, I've never really seen anything by Elsa Chartier before. It says here that she's done some work with adapting George R. R. Martin's work. But what really drew me is the kind of Darwin Cook-esque figures that he's able to draw. You know, Darwin Cook's one of my absolute favorite artists. And she looks like she's got a very similar style. And I really like his style from like New Frontier and the stuff that he's done like that. So this looks like a great science fiction adventure comic. If you're interested in some great art, check out The Infinite Loop number one on page 167 of IDW.
Brawlinator again. I'm in the IDW section on page 178 of this month's previews catalog. Of all of Jack Kirby's celebrated DC Comics creations, perhaps none has struck such an enduring chord with readers as his post-apocalyptic adventure, Kamandi, the Last Boy on Earth. Now, to the delight of fans far and wide, this much-anticipated series will join the ranks of Jack King Kirby Artist Editions and the Jack Kirby Artist Edition Kamandi. Kamandi was a very unique book when it came out. It was one of the first projects, along with the New Gods, that Kirby worked on after leaving Marvel for DC in the early 70s. Kirby had been working at Marvel since the golden age of comics, so leaving Marvel was a pretty big deal. While some feel as though Commandi doesn't represent Kirby's very best work, I believe it may be his last great work. Kirby was given free rein on the series as writer, penciler, and editor, with Mike Royer handling the inks and letters. Commandi, Last Boy on Earth is a wild and adventurous look at the post-apocalyptic near-future Earth, where a great disaster all but wiped out the race of men. And in their place, talking, intelligent animal races ruled the world. Tigers, lions, dogs, rats, gorillas, and more held sway, and the surviving men were basically kept as slaves and thought of as animals. The story, of course, is heavily influenced by the Planet of the Apes films, which were enormously popular at the time, as well as by other films such as The Omega Man, or Omega the Last Man. This artist edition features some of the most influential complete issues from the revered series, including issues number 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, and 9, along with additional covers and other bonus material. Now, IDW's artist editions are known for reprinting the art of some of the best and most historically important comics of all time. They use high-resolution scans of the original penciled and inked pages to reproduce what it's like to actually be reading the original art, much larger than most published comics, and they're gorgeous. Kirby has been the subject of a few of these oversized artist editions before with the New Gods, and there's a forthcoming Mr. Miracle on the way. But Commandi represents what I consider one of the great achievements of Kirby's legacy. And since I'll never have enough disposable income to get my hands on genuine original Kirby pages, getting to see it reprinted with the original art at full size is probably the next best thing. This collection is 160 pages and measures 12 inches by 17 inches, and this artist edition should amaze and delight fans of Jack King Kirby. Again, it's from IDW on page 178 of this month's previews catalog. Check your budget first and then consider this.
This is Derek once again from the Comics Alternative Podcast, and right now I'm in the IDW section, at the tail end of it, in fact. It's on page 191, and there's a half-page solicit for the title Headspace. Now, this is written by Ryan K. Lindsay with art by Eric Zawadzki. And the solicit is rather short, and this is one of the reasons why I wanted to point this out. What if your town were the mental construct of a killer? The inhabitants of Carpenter Cove are about to find out. That's it. There's really no more than that. And this is originally a Monkey Brain comic. And as you're probably aware, one of the things that has been happening over the past few years is that Monkey Brain, which is a digital comic book publisher, has been collecting some of their titles, and the hard copies of those story arcs have been published through various presses. Sometimes it's IDW, sometimes it's Image, sometimes it's Dark Horse. Now, Headspace, I guess, chose IDW, or IDW chose Headspace, to put out this first volume. Every now and again, I will download a Monkey Brain comic. I have to tell you, I'm unfamiliar with Headspace, but Zdowski's art looks really good. And the first sentence of that solicit, "What if your town were the mental construct of a killer," gets my attention. And I want to try this out. But my question is, why not include a little more information in this solicit in order to tease me even more and give me a better sense of what Headspace is all about, especially if I'm not familiar with this comic on Monkey Brain, or especially if you're not familiar with Monkey Brain comics at all? I don't know. I think they could have done a better job. I have a problem with over-soliciting a title, but this is an example of under-soliciting. But, I'm not going to hold that against the creators here. It does sound interesting, and I'll probably pick up Headspace. And if you want to find out more about the extensive two-sentence solicit, you can find it on page 191 of the February previews catalog.
This is Mo, Dr. Mo on the forum here to talk about Jupiter Circle number 1 from Image Comics. Jupiter Circle can be found on page 194 of previews. Jupiter Circle is written by Mark Millar and illustrated by Wilfredo Torres. It is the prequel to Millar's other planet-titled book, Jupiter's Legacy. Jupiter Circle follows the most celebrated superheroes in mid-century America as they deal with fame, riches, and adoration. However, tensions amongst the heroes threaten to unleash the secrets behind their public and private exploits. Artist Wilfredo Torres is no stranger to superheroes. He has worked on Batman 66 for DC Comics and The Shadow Year One for Dynamite. Based on the preview images for Jupiter Circle, along with the recently concluded Starlight series, I believe Millar is producing less cynical comics. I enjoyed Mark Millar's run on Superman Adventures, and hope Jupiter Circle is a celebration of the superhero. Jupiter Circle is 350 and can be found in the image section of previews on page 194.
Kyle and Drew here with Comics for Fun and Profit, and we're in the image section of your previews guide, and we see Captara number 1, story by Chip Zdarsky, who I'm much more familiar with as the artist on Sex Criminals. He has art being done on this by Kagan McLeod. This is an interesting looking book. A space expedition goes horribly wrong, because if it didn't, there would be no story. Reluctant explorer Keith Kanga and his crew crash land on Captara, a world filled with danger and weird danger and dangerous weirdos. Okay? And if he can't survive, then Earth, the place where you live, is doomed. Chip Zdarsky, who I know from Sex Criminals, and they're touting him for his Howard the Duck stuff as well on here. Kagan McLeod, I don't know, but it says infinite kung fu artist, so I'm going to be pleasantly surprised, hopefully, on that, as they put the Phi back in sci-fi and pretty much disregard the Psi part of the epic story by punching in love. So, Zdarsky seems back in full force on this one.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be absurd. He's going to be funny.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's going to be funny, and it's not going to be a black science type of a sci-fi
no,
epic.
I seriously
think it's going to be more of a madcap romp of sorts. I probably not as enthused about this as you are. I think his art is really great.
But you don't see writer Chip Zdarsky as a selling point as much as I do.
Not yet. I am going to go with it as an open mind here and see what he has to offer as a writer. I was really surprised by Scotty Young over on Rocket Raccoon. Didn't think he could write his way out of a paper bag, and he surprised me. We'll see what happens with old Chippy.
Old Chippy. Can't wait. So Comics for Fun and Profit, we'll be picking up Captara number 1 coming out in April from Image Comics.
And check us out at comicsfunprofit.com.
Hey guys, TJ back again with my next selection, and this time on page 206 of the Image section. This is No Mercy number 1, story by Alex DeCampi, and art by the great Carla Speed McNeil. And this looks like a slice of life, kind of first year at college story. But what really has drawn me to this is both creators. Actually, Alex DeCampi is first introduced with her for her graphic novel Smoke and Ash, adventure spy novels, graphic novels. And Carla Speed McNeil is the artist and writer of one of my absolute, what I think is one of the greatest creations in comics, the Finder series, which is kind of like a fantasy adventure set in the future, kind of like an anthropology fantasy adventure that's just, it's mind-blowing how much world building and how in-depth the Finder series is. And Dark Horse publishes that, and they have a couple compendium that I would really encourage anyone to check out. She's just a fabulous creator. So that's what really drew me to No Mercy number 1. I'm not sure it's going to be a super action-packed comic, although the cover looks like they're up to no good and having a good time. But with these creators, I'm on board and willing to give them quite a bit of leeway. So if you're an Alex DeCampi fan or Carla Speed McNeil fan, check out some of their first image work, I believe, and especially together. So No Mercy, number 1 on page 206.
Next up on page 218 from Image Comics is The Tithe number 1. This is written by Matt Hawkins, and it's a heist story where you've got a hacker group going after and robbing millions of dollars from megachurches and giving it to causes they think are more worthy. Definitely a modern-day Robin Hood with the FBI agents who are chasing these guys down. Sympathetic, but they've got to stop the things before this escalates. We've got on page 219 four pages of art. Unfortunately, there's no dialogue, word balloons, or captions to really give it context, but the gist is kind of clear. The art looks nice. I'm looking forward to it. I like a good heist comic. This seems to have a nice sensibility and uniqueness to it, going after the megachurches, that kind of a thing. And Matt Hawkins has also done Think Tank, which I thought was really well written. So I'm looking forward to that. So this has a $3.99 price point, 32-page comic. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS that, again, drops the price point around the $2 point. So once again, worth checking out The Tithe by Image Comics on 218. Next up on page 220 is X-th Generation, or 9th Generation, number 4, from Image Comics, Matt Hoffman's Stepan Sejic. I reviewed the first issue of that, really liked it, decided I needed to add this to my order. That's not what I'm here to talk about, though. What I'm here to talk about is immediately before that, on that same page, 9th Generation Hidden Files, number 1. This is something I think people may overlook, and I don't think they should. This is written by the same, or done by the same creative team of Matt Hawkins and Stepan Sejic. But what this is an in-depth look at the realistic science of transhumanism, cybernetic enhancement, genetic alteration, and all that kind of a thing, in kind of a handbook style of thing. One of the things I really liked about Think Tank was at the end, Matt Hawkins had clearly done his research, and at the end of every issue, he shared some of that. Here's where this drone was used, here's some of this stuff with the virus or whatever. So he's done some of the research on the different aspects that are building into this 9th generation world that we're getting in that title. And here's basically a source book of that kind of behind the scenes information and stuff. This may not be for everybody, but I really enjoy this kind of a stuff. And when the creators have gone and done their homework, I think it's fun for them to share it in this kind of a format just to educate us on what currently is possible with science on these areas. Where we're at, where we're not at, and where he kind of took some leap forwards. So I'm looking forward to this. It's 32 pages, $3.99. Definitely, I think, worth checking out. 50% discount through DCBS because it's comic book page pick of the month. So once again, that's 9th Generation Hidden Files number 1 on page 220 from Image Comics.
This is Derek from the Comics Alternative Podcast. My next pick in the February catalog is in the Image section. Now, as always, Image has quite a number of new issues, and many of the people that you heard before me have already told you about some of those really interesting number ones that are coming out. But I'm on page 222. Once you get past all those new Siri titles, I come to Punks the Comic CBLDF Special. Now, last month we were lucky enough to have solicited the first trade of Punks the Comic, and I'm definitely going to be getting this. I have to tell you, that was one of my favorite comics from 2014. The story is by Joshua Hale Fialkov, and the art is by Cody Chamberlain, and this is one of those titles that we, my colleague Andy and I originally reviewed on the Comics Alternative podcast last year, and then I picked it as one of my 10 best of 2014. It's strange, it's offbeat, it's a weird sense of humor, and Chamberlain's art, I think, complements that very well. And it may be an acquired taste for some, but it's definitely in my wheelhouse. If you like God Hates Astronauts, if you're a big fan of Mystery Science Theater 3000, if you like offbeat, strange humor, then Punks the Comic is for you. Now, this issue is the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund Special. So the solicit reads, every rule of the comic code will be broken in these 32 pages. Realizing, of course, we no longer have the comic code. To say thanks to the assured mutual destruction, 20% of all profits will be donated to the CBLDF. Help support an amazing cause and be seduced by the innocent or corrupted by the corrupt, either or. So you can see that Fialkov and Chamberlain's sense of humor does come out in this solicit here. Not only is this a great comic, and it's one that I'm continuing to get on a regular basis, but it serves a good cause. As they say, 20% of the profits the year will go to the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, which is a very, very good thing. So if you want to be a part of this, if you are not familiar with Punks the Comic, then this is a good way to jump on the bandwagon. You can find the solicit on page 222 of the catalog.
Hello, everybody. This is David of the Helix Reviews podcast with Uncanny Inhumans number 0. Now, the solicit reads, the industry's best-selling artist comes to the Inhumans, the prelude to one of Marvel's biggest launches of 2015 is here. You think you know Black Bolt? Think again as the men who killed Wolverine show you a side of the Inhuman King you've never seen before. Now, here's the deal with the Inhumans. I have never been particularly attached to the Inhumans. I've never read their comics and been like, oh yeah, you know, I mean, Inhumanity I thought was underwhelming, and I read, you know, the first issue of the Inhumans comic book series, and I was like, eh, it was fine, but I didn't love it. But, see, the thing is, I want to like the Inhumans, because I think this, the whole Inhumans idea is a really cool idea, you know, this race of people that are different than humanity. I mean, it's very much like mutants in a lot of ways, but, you know, they have, you know, their differences, and I think this is a cool idea, and I want to like it. And so, you know, I keep trying these Inhuman series that comes out, and so far, none of them have really, you know, grabbed me. But I'm hoping, you know, Uncanny Inhumans is going to be that series. So I'm definitely going to check out this issue. It's by Charles Soule as a writer, and Steve McNiven is the artist and colorer. And with the movie coming out in a few years, maybe this is a series to keep an eye on. So that's Uncanny Inhumans number 0.
Hey, it's Brawlinator, and I'm now on page 5 of the Marvel Previews catalog, and I'm looking at a one-shot from writer Jeff Loveness and artist Ryan Lee. Being billed as the prelude to one of Marvel's biggest launches of 2015, it's Inhuman Special number 1. What's up with Black Bolt? The solicit suggests a story that links Amazing Spider-Man, Inhuman, and all-new Captain America, as a character who's been around for more than 75 years returns to threaten the Marvel Universe. This story follows the Amazing Spider-Man Special number 1 that was solicited last month, and will conclude in next month's all-new Captain America special. The Inhumans are reluctantly seeking the help of Spider-Man and the all-new Captain America, Sam Wilson, to help them defend New Atlan from a wide array of hideously deformed monsters. And we still haven't seen all the effects of the Terrigen Cloud yet. I've been keeping up with the Inhuman regular series, which I think is ending around issue 14. I'm not sure where I heard that, but that's the scuttlebutt going around. So I plan to pick this up as well. I'm actually waiting on this property to fish or cut bait. I think that time has finally come. Also out this month is Uncanny Inhumans number 1 by Charles Soule and Steve McNiven, which I recommend as well. Inhuman Special number 1 is part of a mini event, and those are my favorite superhero crossovers. I would prefer more stories with formats and scope like this instead of the bloated ones like Fear Itself or Original Sin. Just my taste. Check this out, especially if you've ordered the Amazing Spider-Man Special last month. The preview can be found on page 5 of the Marvel Previews catalog.
Hello, this is David from the Helix Reviews podcast with Avengers Millennium issues 1 through 4 of 4 total. And the solicit reads, at a secret Hydra installation hidden away in rural Japan, the Avengers discover a time portal that sends them on an adventure that spans millennia. But what kind of bad guys have a time machine that they don't use to change the past? Bad guys who know they win. The only thing standing between our immutable past and our wasted, ruined future are the Avengers, finally reunited to battle a doomsday weapon thousands of years in the hatching. Now, this miniseries is most likely just a cash-in because the movie Avengers Age of Ultron is coming out, and they're like, oh, let's, you know, hurry up and, you know, throw a bunch of Avengers comics out there. And, you know, that's what they're doing. They're doing Avengers Ultron Forever, which is like a different miniseries, I guess. But you know what? This sounds really cool anyway. I really like the premise of, there's a time portal, and, you know, these villains are able to control time somehow, you know, a time machine or whatever, and they're not going back to change anything because they're like, you know what, we like how this turns out. And now the Avengers have to change time to make sure that it all turns out good. And I think this is a really cool idea. It's written by Mike Costa with art by Cameron Digimedinico. Sorry, that was totally wrong. Anyway, so I'm very excited for Avengers Millennium issues 1-4.
Now we turn over to page 15 of the Marvel Previews catalog to see the latest offering from writer Al Ewing and artist extraordinaire Alan Davis. This is the beginning of a three-part Avengers event. It's Avengers Ultron Forever, and it's set 500 years in the future where Ultron has won and humanity is all but extinct, dead, or enslaved by the Ultron singularity. Now, seven Avengers are brought through time by Dr. Doom to battle the Machine God for the fate of the cosmos, or die trying. This epic adventure spans the past and future of the Avengers. The solicit reads, "Humanity engineered its own extinction with the creation of Ultron. The creation of Hank Pym, Ultron was a machine intelligence that it believed it was better than humanity and quickly sought to overrun the Earth, leading to a succession of battles against the Avengers. With each battle, Ultron learned more. Each battle made the intelligence more dangerous, and five centuries in the future, Ultron has triumphed. Humanity is enslaved to Ultron and on the brink of extinction, and seven Avengers are summoned through time for one final battle against Ultron in Marvel Comics' Avengers Ultron Forever." You know, with all the excitement building for Ultron's big screen debut in this summer's Avengers Age of Ultron blockbuster movie, Marvel is bringing the comics audience a blockbuster of their own with this all-new three-part event. This will span three oversized issues, and those will be Avengers Ultron Forever number 1, New Avengers Ultron Forever number 2, and Uncanny Avengers Ultron Forever number 3. This event is apparently aimed at introducing new readers to the Avengers villain just in time for the release of the movie. And for this title, the Avengers lineup will consist of the present-day Black Widow, Vision, female Thor, and joined by James Rhodes in his Iron Man armor, as well as classic versions of the Hulk and Thor. The story will also feature an adult Danielle Cage, the daughter of Luke Cage and Jessica Jones, as Captain America. I love me some Ultron, love time travel, and love Alan Davis art, so I am all in on this series. Check it out and decide for yourself on page 15 of this month's Marvel Previews.
Drew and Kyle here with Comics for Fun and Profit, and we are flipping through the previews in Marvel, and we stumble across Miles Morales, Ultimate Spider-Man, number 12. What's going on here? It says, "Is this the end?"
Yeah, it says, "The epic conclusion, is this the end?" 32 pages, $3.99. Brian Michael Bendis doing the writing, of course, and David Marquez on art. I am loving this, been loving this just for a dozen issues or so since that issue 200. I thought it's really been a lot of fun. I have no idea what they're planning for this. Is it a relaunch? Is it just going away until Secret Wars happens and then maybe come back in off the other side as different? Please don't kill Miles Morales, Marvel, please. I really like this character. I don't want anything to happen to him, so... I am really looking forward to this comic to find out what's going on, and I hope this is just marketing speak for this being the end, and then we just have the next issue right after that. That's what I'm hoping.
That's what we're hoping for. So, yeah. Comics for Fun and Profit. Cautiously optimistic about Miles Morales' Ultimate Spider-Man number 12 from Marvel Comics.
Hello, this is David with Rocket Raccoon number 10. Of course, written by Scotty Young, and it looks like the art this time around is by Jacob Parker. The cover art is by Scotty Young also. Basically, what it looks like with this issue is he is going to find out once and for all, is he really alone? So, cool. I've been really enjoying this series. This series is a lot of fun. It blends both kind of childish humor and adult humor, and I think it does it very well. It's very wacky and just goofy, kind of, but it's just a lot of fun, and I really enjoy this comic and this series. And, you know, we're finally going to get the answer to, you know, is he alone? Is there another raccoon out there somewhere, you know? So that's exciting, and, you know, I can't wait to hear, you know, the answer to that. And, you know, will they actually answer it? I don't know, they'll probably say, you know, no, there's not, and then there will be one that shows up later on, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen there. But still, Rocket Raccoon is a really fun series. Check it out if you have not yet. That's Rocket Raccoon number 10. Hey everybody, this is David of the Helix Reviews podcast with Silver Surfer number 11, written by Dan Slott with art and colors by Mike Allrad. Now this is a special oversized issue, and the solicit reads, trapped in time, lost in space, with alien threats forever on the attack, and paradise just around his reach. What terrible price will the surfer pay to fulfill his most selfless purpose? A twist on a sci-fi classic that could only be told through sequential art. Forget sideways issues and silent issues. Scott and Allred are bringing you a modern-day comic, Marvel comic, you'll be talking about for years to come. This Silver Surfer series has been a lot of fun. It is, you know, written by Dan Slott, who's writing the Amazing Spider-Man series, and he's still writing the Superior Spider-Man series, and both those series are just fantastic. I really love both those stories, and, you know, Spider-Man is my favorite character, and Silver Surfer is one of my favorite characters. He's up there, and I think he's doing a really good job. It's different than what, you know, maybe is normal with the Silver Surfer, but it feels very Doctor Who-ish to me, because you got the Silver Surfer and you got his companion, and they're traveling through space and, you know, exploring new cultures and aliens and races and planets and all this crazy stuff, and it's just a lot of fun. It's really entertaining, and yeah, so that's why I recommend checking out Silver Surfer, the series, and, you know, Silver Surfer number 11 in particular, because it's a special oversized issue. Oh, yeah.
This is Brawlinator again, and this is my last pick in Marvel's previews catalog. It's on page 40. I can see that the Silver Surfer has something special coming, and the solicit for April's issue is a bit mysterious. Not only does issue 11 see the price jump to $5, but it promises a special issue of some sort. They even take a few jabs at DC Comics. No idea what's in store, but amazing art is almost all but certain. This series has been a blast, with writing chores by Dan Slott and artwork by Mike Allred. This issue is called Never After and is being billed as a special oversized issue. The solicit reads, trapped in time, lost in space, with alien threats forever on the attack, and paradise just outside his reach, what terrible price will the surfer pay to fulfill his most selfless promise? It's a twist on a sci-fi classic that could only be told through sequential art. Forget sideways issues and silent issues. Slott and Allred are bringing you a modern-day Marvel comic you'll be talking about for years to come. Now that's in quotes, that's not me saying that. If you're not a regular reader of this title, you should still probably consider picking this one up, though. It looks fantastic, and you can't go wrong with this character and this creative team. I've been a fan of the Silver Surfer since back when I was first introduced during Buscema's run. And of course, I'm familiar with a lot of the work that Jack King Kirby did on the Sentinel of the Spaceways back when he was appearing in the Fantastic Four and battling Thor. My favorite run is probably Ron Lim's work back in the 90s, leading up to and during the Infinity Gauntlet, with some of the stuff George Perez and Jim Starlin did. Longtime fan of Silver Surfer. Love what Allred and Slott are doing with this series. It's been firing on all cylinders for a while now, so check it out. It's on page 40 of this month's Marvel Previews.
Hey guys, David here from the Helix Reviews podcast with Original Sin, the trade paperback. Now, this is written by Ed Brubaker, Mark Waid, Jason Aaron, and art by, you know, a whole bunch of people, covers by different people, and this was a great Marvel event, in my opinion. I started reading comic books like on an issue-to-issue basis, basically when the New 52 started, and then I, you know, jumped on board with some Marvel stuff, and but since then, this is like the best event that I have read since, you know, since I've started then. And this is just fantastic. I loved this series. Like, what is this series about? This series about The Watcher got murdered. And now, you know, he's dead on his place up on the moon. And they're like, whoa, you know, how did this happen? And it's kind of a murder mystery set in the Marvel Universe. And so you got all these superheroes, you know, trying to solve the mystery. And, you know, I won't spoil anything, but who did it and everything. It's just fantastic. I loved this series. I loved how it turned out. It's simultaneously both something to, you know, read and really enjoy and have fun with, and on the other hand, it kind of presents some interesting themes and ideas that, you know, you can kind of think about as you read, which I always enjoy in comic books. And yeah, this was a great series. I highly recommend checking out Original Sin. Really some good stuff. So, yeah, that's it. It's $34.99. I'm sure it will have a price cut on Discount Comic Book Service. So, definitely get it there. Just once again, fantastic, fantastic event. Check it out. Original Sin, the trade paperback is coming out. Get it.
Hey guys, TJ here with my next selection. This is on page 261 in the Ad House book section. This is The Oven hardcover by Sophia Goldstein. And this is the description. Ozone depletion and dwindling resources have driven the human race into domed cities where population controls are strictly enforced. When a young couple goes looking for an anti-government paradise in the desert, they may have found more than they bargained for. Sounds kind of like a post-apocalyptic story. And what really drew me to this actually was there's a number of comics news websites that have had, like, I think a 12-page preview of this. They might also have the 12-page preview at Ad House Books. But I thought that the art was pretty striking. It's that duotone color, I think orange and white. But it's just a real striking art by Sophia Goldstein, and I have yet to read an Ad House book that wasn't pretty good. So, you know, I'm willing to give this one a shot. So if you're interested in something different from one of the indie presses, check out The Oven by Sophia Goldstein on page 261.
Hi, John. This is Mike Myers from the Geek Brunch, DC Noise, and Valiant podcast. And I get roughly about 200 so books a month, and it's kind of hard to narrow down what to pick every month as a choice for this podcast. But I ran into some interesting picks. I spent a lot of time in previews, and on 262 from Alterna Comics, Inc., I saw a comic called FUBAR Mother Russia. Now, FUBAR's been a zombie war type comic book. You might see them at the conventions. They have a pretty nice display, like with guns and zombie heads and all kinds of stuff. Well, this is the first time I'm going to try it. And I've been really interested in, like, snipers, like in G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero. I saw, like, Long Range. And then I watched American Sniper. And then I watched a World War One sniper movie recently. And this happens in Stalingrad in 1943, where there's one sniper trying to protect a baby from a zombie apocalypse. And it sounds really interesting. It's by Jeff McComsey, and I guess that's like the writer that writes it normally. And then the cover, he's the writer and artist, and the cover artist is by Laura Mueller. So this is a 3-issue miniseries in black and white. Cover price is $3.99, and I think you should give it a shot if it sounds like it's something you're interested in. If you're interested in snipers, if you're interested in zombies, if you're interested in World War II, this might be for you. So give it a shot. Now back to John. Thanks.
Hello, this is Derek once again from the Comics Alternative podcast, and we're in the back half of the catalog now, which is actually our bread and butter on the Comics Alternative, so I think that it's only appropriate that as I begin this last half of the catalog, I start off with the publisher Alternative Comics, and not just because it's an inversion of my podcast title, The Comics Alternative. Now, Alternative Comics is one of those smaller presses that falls under the radar of probably most comic readers, and and many of you may not be able to find those titles in your local comic shops. But you can definitely find solicits every now and again in the previews catalog in order from one of my favorite stores, Discount Comic Book Service. That's right, I just gave them a plug. But I know John uses them and loves them too, so I guess that's okay. Now, usually when we find an alternative comics solicit, they're one, maybe two titles tops, and sometimes they're not in every single month's issue of previews. This time around, however, we have at least five different solicits on pages 262 and 263 of the catalog in the alternative comics section. For instance, you have Alamo Value Plus, number one, from Rusty Jordan. You have Sam Alden's new graphic novel, Haunter. You have the 20th anniversary edition of Rich Tomaso's Clover Honey. You also have solicited Johnny Viable and his Terse Friends one-shot from novelist and also comics artist creator Steve Aylett. And then you have a spotlight, actually, of this month's catalog, Ted May's Men's Feelings, number one. Now, of particular significance for me, at least, is Sam Alden's Haunter. This is an original graphic novel. It's actually Alden's first long-form work, and it's, according to the solicit, painted in lush and colorful ink washes. It's a wordless tale of a young woman trying to survive an ancient evil in an unknown land. The pacing and storytelling in Haunter is completely masterful. A study group production. So the reason I'm pointing this out is I recently discovered Sam Alden's work last year. He published a book, It Never Happened Again, from Uncivilized Books last year. And again, that's another one of my favorite publishers that flies under most people's radar. But also notable about Alden's work is that one of the stories in It Never Happened Again, which is titled Hawaii 1997, appeared in last year's, the 2014 volume of Best American Comics. Alden's definitely a great artist, a great storyteller, and he's someone to watch out for. And these other titles in the alternative comic sections are worth checking out as well. So look at pages 262 and 263 of the catalog. You'll see what I'm talking about.
Next up on page 268 is The Shield number one from Archie Comics. This is part of the Dark Circle line of comics. This is the third one behind Black Hood and Fox, and this is featuring a new version of the Shield. Really, I don't know much about this version. It's female, which is a change from the more Captain America male version that we'd had in the past. Looks to be disconnected from the new Crusaders stuff we've gotten in recent years, which is a real shame because I loved that stuff. But this looks very interesting. Looks like it could be pretty good. I really want to see if Archie can get in the game on the superhero comics or not. I think they can. I'm willing to give it a shot. It's a $3.99 cover price. It is 32-page full-color comic. This is going to be their, again, more blatantly superheroic take with a patriotic tone given the nature of the character. So, once again, it is The Shield from number one from Archie Comics on page 268. Check it out.
Yeah, this is TJ with my next selection. It's in the Bergen Street Press section on page 290. And this is Copra Round 2 trade paperback by Michael Fife, or Michael Fife. I've never really known how to pronounce his name correctly. But this is the second trade paperback of the underground hit Copra, which is kind of like a indie Suicide Squad. If you're familiar with that stuff from DC, then you'll be pretty familiar with this, only it's a little bit more out there, the character's a little crazier, and but the story is just great, and I think this collects the next six issues, so this is up through issue 12, and I think he's currently publishing the singles for issue 19, so hopefully there'll be a third trade to catch all the way up to the current stuff, but it's just such a great story and art together, and it's kind of the thing I really like about Copra is you can really tell that the creator is so invested in these characters and so invested in this work. You know, it looks and feels like he's having fun, and sometimes, especially for the big two, you can tell that guys are just turning in pages to get their page rate. But Copra is not one of those books. Michael Fife obviously loves this stuff, and he loves these Suicide Squad-esque characters, and he loves the way, you know, basically crash them into each other. So when you can tell the creator's loving the book and it really translates onto the page, it really helps sell me on comics like this. So if you're interested in keeping up with Copra, the second trade is out on page 290. Check it out.
Brawlinator again, and this is my final selection from previews this month. It's by authors James Tynion IV and Noah J. Yunkel, with art chores by Matt Fox. It's called Ufology, and it's from Boom Studios on page 303. This 32-page comic has me intrigued. Tynion already blew comic fans away with his original series, The Woods and Mimetic, and now he's teamed up with thrill-bent co-writer Noah J. Yunkel and artist Matt Fox, who you may remember from Long Walk to Valhalla, and they've created Ufology, or Ufology, the story about aliens in the Midwest. Reminiscent of films like E.T. and Super 8 and TV shows like Twin Peaks and The X-Files, this Close Encounter story is probably one to check out. It's a 6-issue series and it debuts in April. I read where the two writers have been best friends since their childhood days back in Wisconsin, and the solicit in previews reads, Becky Finch never wanted to be special. She just wanted to be a normal high school student in a small Midwestern town. Malcolm Chamber wanted something more, a destiny, an answer from the stars. When Becky is marked by an alien's touch, though, she'll stumble into a mystery she never wanted, a mystery that almost ripped apart their parents' lives 12 years ago. And she'll need the help of her eccentric young classmate Malcolm as she finds the power within herself to uncover the truth. Now, at first, this sounds like a typical sci-fi trope, but Boom Studios has developed a solid reputation in the comics industry for publishing an increasingly diverse group of books. While 2015 is the 10th anniversary of Boom, I expect more good things on the horizon. And hopefully, with Ufology, we'll get a book that explores the weirdness of sci-fi in a new way while avoiding any well-worn alien tropes. Check it out. It's on page 303 of this month's previews. That's my last pick. Always enjoy participating in these episodes, John. Thanks for listening.
Hey, comic book pagers. This is Drew with a pick from Boom on page 305. It's George Perez, Sirens, Pen and Ink, number 1. Written by George Perez, illustrated by George Perez, covered by George Perez. This is the pen and ink treatment we saw earlier with the Daymen series, and I was very pleasantly surprised at what that package was. It's an 11 by 17 format, very nice oversized pages. So it's 48 pages. It is $14.99, and it's the black and white pencils, well, pen and inks, and it really kind of shows you the artistry behind the images that you see. I was just very impressed by the last package that came out, so I'm going to definitely check this out. I really like George Perez a lot, and I want to take an up-close and personal look at his art from Siren. So I'm looking at, on page 305, from Boom Studios, George Perez's Sirens, Pen and Ink, number 1. Check it out.
Hey guys, TJ back here with my next pick. It's in the Boom Studios section on page 311 in the Archaea subsection. This is the Realist OGN hardcover, written by Asaf Hanuka, and also the art done by the same guy. And what drew me to this was the art that they have, a little four-page scrunched up onto one page, but you can still make it out, and it's really good. I really like the character design, and you know, he's just got really good cartooning, and it's an autobiography comic that kind of shows the ups and downs of his life. You know, he lives in a part of the world that's pretty a troubled part of the world, and it provides a lot of material for his autobiographical comic. And you know, the description says, with echoes of R. Crumb and Daniel Klaus, you know, so, you know, I'm kind of into this stuff, and Archaea usually has a pretty good taste in terms of picking their stuff. And I haven't been let down ever since they've been kind of brought into underneath the Boom umbrella. So I'm going to give this a shot. It's, I think, almost 200 pages. Archaea does really nice hardcovers. And if you're interested in autobiographical comics and some what looks like some really good art, check out The Realist by Asaf Hanuka on page 311.
Hi, this is Mike Myers again from the Geek Brunch, DC Noise, and Valiant podcast. And my second pick for these preview podcast is Operation Nemesis, a story of genocide and revenge graphic novel. What caught my eye on this is they have a big two-page spread right after on 324 and 325, and they have the actual solicit on page 323 of the previews. And it looked really, really interesting. And then I was really surprised after I already said, I'm going to get this. I didn't even look at the creators, but I was really surprised that one of them was Hoyt Silva, and I actually know him. I've met him at several Comic-Cons. He usually sits next to a really good friend of mine, Drew Moss, and he's doing the art, so I'm real anxious to see it. They have some preview pages that look really, really nice from the interiors on that two-page spread. But what was really interesting is this is based on a true story, and it sounds very, very interesting. He said, before Adolf Hitler, there was a Talat Pasha, leader of the Turkish Ottoman Empire. In 1915, Talat ordered the mass execution of every Armenian within his nation's borders, resulting in the death over 1.5 million victims. Now that's freaking insane. And I've never heard about this in history. So I'm like, what the hell? That number is crazy. So I'm really interested in it. And it says, this is the story of Telerian, an Armenian survivor who killed him in the streets of Berlin and walked away from court a free man. And it's honoring the 100th anniversary of the Armenian genocide. It just sounds like a really interesting book with some art from an artist that I have been exposed to and I've met in Comic-Cons and I like him a lot. And it's by Josh Blaylock, who I know from Devil's Due and G.I. Joe and a lot of other properties that he's done. I'm really, really curious about this. The cost is a little high because it's a graphic novel. It's $18.99 for 144 pages. But it sounds incredible, especially if you're like interested in history and stuff. And I'm really interested because I'm becoming more, as I get older and older, I'm becoming more of a historical person from like the 40s. Well, this is prior to the 40s. And this name is just out. It's insane. 1.5 million victims. Never heard about it either. So this is going to be a first, even though it'll usually like comics like this will cause me to do a lot of research on my own to find out how close to the truth the book is. But this just sounds fascinating, and I hope more people will give this a shot. Back to John, and thank you again for doing these shows. I think they're wonderful, and I really enjoy Weekly Comic Spotlight and the Mayo Reports. So keep up the good work, John, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Hey guys, this is TJ with my next selection on page 349. This is in the Drawn and Quarterly section. This is Super Mutant Magic Academy graphic novel with writing and art by Jillian Tamaki. This is the collected edition of her webcomic that's been going on for the last 4 years, and it's basically kind of a covers the life of a teenager as they kind of grow up, you know, with sharp doses of humor. You know, she plays with the superhero and high school Hollywood tropes, along with what adolescence is really like. And, you know, the premise is interesting to me because I like these type of comics, but what really drew me is the fact that it's Jillian Tamaki. And the reason I'm a big fan of hers is that this past year, I think with her cousin, she did this original graphic novel called This One Summer from First Second, and the art just blew me away on it. It was just this gorgeous, gorgeous OGN, and in fact, it was my second favorite book, basically, from last year. So if you're a Jillian Tamaki fan and you love This One Summer, you want to check out some more of her work, this is her entire collected webcomic from the last couple years. So check that out on page 349 of the Drawn and Quarterly section.
This is Derek from the Comics Alternative Podcast. I'm in the Drawn in Quarterly section of the catalog, and that you can find on pages 349 and 350. Now, if a month goes by that I do not highlight something from Drawn in Quarterly, then it's not going to be a good month. You know, Drawn in Quarterly, you can always count on them for great comics, great books, and they're one of my favorite alternative publishers, if you want to call them that. But alternative or not, they're one of the best out there. And this month, there are a couple of things I wanted to point out. First, something that's listed on 349 as a featured item. This is Julian Tamaki's Super Mutant Magic Academy. This is something that I'm definitely going to pick up because I'm a very big fan of her and her cousins' This One Summer that came out from First Second last year. One of my top picks of 2014, definitely. But I tell you what I'm really and most excited about in the Drawn in Quarterly section is the new volume of Seth's Palookaville, and this is volume 22. This installment of Seth's critically acclaimed one-man anthology features an autobiographical comic about Seth's childhood, part four of his long-running Clyde fan serial, a photo essay about a barbershop he designed, and a comic strip about the art of barbering. The story Nothing Lasts revisits Seth's childhood in the 1960s Ontario with a special focus on the salvation that he found in library books and drugstore comics. The Clyde fan chapter included here in this volume shows the conclusion of brothers Abe and Simon Matchard's first lengthy conversation in Abe's pensive, self-questioning mood as he drives back to Dominion to meet up with his old flame, Alice. Now, if you're unfamiliar with Palookaville, specifically the Clyde fan storyline that's been going on for quite a number of years now, this may not sound familiar to you at all, and you may be scratching your head. You know, I don't know if volume 22 of Palookaville is the best way to jump into the Clyde fan story, but it might be, and this would be a great introduction to Seth's Palookaville, because in every issue of Palookaville, which started as a comic book and now comes out about every year, two or three, as in graphic novel form, you find a collection of stories that some are continuing storylines that he had explored further. Others are just one-shots or one-pieces or brand-new storylines that Seth creates. So Palookaville is definitely one of my favorites, and as Drawn in Quarterly usually does, is they feature the back catalog of a particular creator who has something new coming out. And in fact, you could call February in the previews Drawn in Quarterly section a Seth Fest, because if you turn the page on 350, you'll see Resolicited, Clyde Fans, Book 1, George Sprott, the hardcover, The Great Northern Brotherhood of Canadian Cartoonists, I love that book, Seth's classic, It's a Good Life If You Don't Weaken, Palookaville Volume 21, Palookaville Volume 20, and another one of my favorites from Seth's, Wimbledon Green. I highly, highly recommend the work of Seth. He's one of the best cartoonists working today, and you can find his new volume 22 of Palookaville as well as other books solicited in the Drawn in Quarterly section beginning on page 349 of the catalog. Go get Seth. This is Derek from the Comics Alternative Podcast, and I'm in the Fantagraphics section, another one of my favorite places to be in the catalog. And this section begins on page 354. And as always, there are quite a number of good things that I'd like to point out in the Fantagraphics section, but this time around I'll stick with just one. And this is actually not a comic or a graphic novel, but it is a biography. Harvey Kurtzman, the man who created Mad and revolutionized humor in America. This is written by Bill Shelley. This is great in that it's going to be one of the first real biographies of Harvey Kurtzman to come out. We've had other books, other collections on his art, on his life, but this is going to be a straight-up biography, and Bill Shelley is just the guy to do this. So I'm looking forward to getting this and reading this because I find Harvey Kurtzman a fascinating character. I mean, not only did he originate Mad Magazine, did his sense of humor really change the way that humor is presented in our Western culture, but also his life is filled with downs as well as ups. And if you know anything about the Harvey Kurtzman story, you know what I'm talking about here. So this is definitely a biography that you'd have to check out. I also think it's rather timely because just recently, Dark Horse and Kitchen Sink Press came out with the first volume of their Harvey Kurtzman Essential series. And in fact, my colleague Andy Kunkka and I reviewed that very first volume volume, Harvey Kurtzman's Jungle Book, a couple of weeks ago on our podcast. So this would be a nice supplement to the Kurtzman Essentials series. And you can check out this biography on page 354 of the February catalog.
Hey guys, TJ here with my next selection. It's on page 357 in the first second section. This is Last of the Sandwalkers graphic novel by Jay Hausler. It says, nestled in the grass under the big palm tree by the edge of the desert, there is an entire civilization. A civilization of beetles where beetles write books, run restaurants, and even do scientific research. But not too much scientific research is allowed by the elders, who guard a terrible secret about the world outside. Lucy is not one to quietly cooperate, however. This tiny field scientist defies the laws of her home and leads a team of researchers out into the desert. Their mission is to discover something about the greater world, but what lies in wait for them is going to change everything. Beetles are not the only living creatures in the world. So this is, another kind of standalone original graphic novel from First Second. I've just been hearing this played up on a bunch of comics websites, and I've been hearing really good things. I'm a pretty big fan of science and science storytelling, and that's what this is supposed to be. It's supposed to be kind of a science adventure starring beetles and as they explore their world. And that might sound strange, but there's been enough previews online and enough people raving about this that it's one of the more exciting things in this this previews catalog this month. So if you're interested in another great First Second book, looks like it'll be a good all-ages book, and you're interested in a good science tale, check out page 357.
Hey there, comic book pages. This is Drew on page 369 from Nobrow Press. It's Vacancy One Shot, written with art and cover by Jen Lee. And this is a story of a disheveled and ransacked backyard with a dog named Simon that has been forgotten by his owners. Simon contemplates breaking free and eventually partners up with a raccoon and a deer who take him into the woods for an adventure. Doesn't take long for our bespectacled canine to realize he might be quite ready to live in the wild. This is 24 pages. It is full color. It is $5.95, a little pricey. It's got an odd form to it. It's 7x9, so it's a different shape book. This intrigues me. I'm not sure why. I can't fully put my finger on it. I just kind of like the very small postage stamp of art that we have. It gives me a sense of what it might be, just a little bit, a little taste of what it might be. Very intrigued by this, so I think you should check that out as well on page 369, Nobrow Press, in the previews catalog.
Guys, TJ here with my next selection. It's in the Oni Press section on page 371. This is Rick and Morty number one, writing by Zach Gorman and art by CJ Cannon, with coloring by Ryan Hill. So this is kind of the comic adaptation of the Rick and Morty, which is a really funny Adult Swim animated show. I think the guy who does Community, Dan Harmon, is kind of involved in this, at least the show. I don't know about the comic, but it's just one of my favorite Adult Swim shows. It's about this young guy and his crazy grandfather, and they go on time traveling and different dimension adventures, and the page has a bunch of their dialogue, and you can see why it's a pretty entertaining show. But I just wanted to highlight that if you're a big Rick and Morty fan, it looks like they're making a comic. So if you want to check that out, check out a really funny adventure, degenerate super scientist adventure. I'll check out page 371 in the Oni Press section.
This is Mo, Dr. Mo, on the forum, here to plug Kaiju Max number one from Oni Press. Kaiju Max can be found on page 372 of previews. Kaiju Max is written and drawn by Xander Cannon, creator of Replacement God. Xander Cannon also worked on Smacks and Top 10 for Alan Moore's ABC line. Kaiju Max takes place in a prison that houses the worst monsters in creation. Think Orange is the New Black mixed with trash-talking monsters. If you're looking for some great cartooning and a bit of humor, you cannot go wrong with Xander Cannon's Kaiju Max. This full-color comic is only $3.99 and is located on page 372.
And next up on page 375 is letter 44, number 15 from Oni Press. This is written by Charles Soule, who's just doing some very interesting work here. The basic premise is you've got a president who steps into office and realizes that a lot of what his predecessor has done was because that there was this alien presence in our solar system, and he was trying to beef up the resources both militarily and technologically in case we needed to combat this alien presence. So we've gotten a lot of stuff going on. There's a space mission out there. This president has decided to reveal the existence of this alien presence in our solar system. So the world has just changed. World War III has happened, or it's labeling this issue as World War III, I guess. And there's a lot of references to kind of 9 months have passed since. You know, the revelation of the existence of the aliens, the crew and the Clark, the ship that was gone out to investigate, having been abducted, and that we're finally going to get some answers here. And finally is not quite the right word. We're getting a lot of answers. It's a great story. It's very interesting. Something that I don't think a lot of people have checked out. This seems like, with a 9 month later kind of a tone to it, it may be a good jumping on point to check the thing out. Of course, if you really want to check it out, you can always go back to the first issue of the first trade paperback and go there. But Charles Soule's doing some great work, and this is one of his properties that I don't think a lot of people have noticed yet. So once again, letter 44, number 15, on page 375 from Oni Press. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS on this, so that drops that price again in half. Always nice. So check it out.
Hey guys, CJ here with my next selection. It's on page 378 in the Pantheon Books section. This is The Thrilling Adventures of Lovelace and Babbage, hardcover graphic novel, with writing and art by Sidney Padua. And it's a unique take on the unrealized invention of the computer in the 1830s by the eccentric polymath Charles Babbage and his accomplice, the daughter of Lord Byron, Ada, Countess of Lovelace. When Ada translates Babbage's plans for the difference engine, her footnotes contain the first appearance of the general computing theory, 100 years before an actual computer was built. Sidney Padua gives us an alternate reality in which Lovelace and Babbage build the difference engine and then use it to do battle with American banking system, the public industry, their own fears that their project will lose funding, and a villainous street musician who will force the two friends to reevaluate their priorities for the sake of both London and science. So this looks like a pretty interesting take on Ada Lovelace, who is generally considered kind of the mother of computer programming. I think this was a web comic that's been collected. It's 320 pages, nice hardcover, and it's been getting a bunch of starred reviews in a lot of the professional reviewing places like Publishers Weekly, and I generally like a story like this, so it sounds like a lot of fun, and I think everyone else should think about checking this out. I think they have some preview pages online if you want to check that out. So if you're interested in another science adventure, I know that's been kind of a big heavy hitter for me in this month. Check out Pantheon Books, The Thrilling Adventure of Lovelace and Babbage on page 378.
This is Derek once again from the Comics Alternative Podcast. My next pick of the month is on page 384 of the catalog. This is in the Self-Made Hero section. The title is Room for Love. This is a hardcover graphic novel by the creator Ilya. Now, I'm not familiar with Ilya, but that's one of the reasons why I wanted to highlight this book in the Self-Made Hero section. Self-Made Hero is a publisher out of the UK, and their works are published and distributed in the US through Abrams. And a lot of the books that they put out that we get over here in the States are either translations of European creators, for instance, Franco-Belgian artists, but many times they're works that appear originally in the UK, and about a year after they're published there, they come over here. With many of the creations that come out through Self-Made Hero,
I'm not aware of the titles, I'm not aware of the artist, until Self-Made Hero over here through Abrams comes out with these books. So Ilya is a case of this, where I'm not familiar with this individual's work, but the solicit sounds intriguing, and it goes like this. Romance is dead, or so says Pamela Green, a middle-aged romance novelist suffering from writer's block. Then, as she crosses a bridge over the Thames in London, her unsettled life collides with that of a ragged young man who has survived for months on London streets, getting by on his wits and his looks. Under extraordinary circumstances, Pamela invites him into her comfortable suburban home. There, in spite of their obvious differences, they soon form an unlikely partnership, their once separate lives revived and sent off in stark new directions. This is definitely one that I want to pick up and possibly review on my own podcast. As I said, I really like what Self-Made Hero does, the releases that they come out with every season. And in fact, last fall, we had a special publisher spotlight devoted specifically to Self-Made Hero's releases that came out in the fall. So if you want to check out that episode from last year, you can find it on our website, comicsalternative.com. But for now, you can find on page 384 the solicit for Ilya's Room for Love. This is Derek again from the Comics Alternative Podcast, and I'm going to wrap up my February solicits in the top shelf section. You'll find this on pages 396 and 397 of the catalog. Now, this is Black History Month, and as many publishers are doing in this month's catalog, they're highlighting comics that focus on African-American history, African-American culture, and, of course, African-American comics. Top Shelf is really showcasing all of this in February with, I think, about every single one of their solicits. There's a new book coming out from Keith Knight. Keith Knight Takes Queen, the second Nightlife collection. This is a graphic novel. If you're unfamiliar with the comics of Keith Knight, then as you're listening to it, go to your go to Google, go to your computer, put into your browser Keith Knight and see what you come up with. You'll find his websites and also several other hits. Go and take a look at his strips. I think he has an interesting cartoony style that is very culture conscious, very politically aware, in a way that a good editorialist and a good comics artist can do, in terms of slicing through the BS that's out there and getting to the bottom of, well, many aspects of our culture, and especially as it deals with race in America. So it's appropriate that this book is solicited in the February Black History Month catalog. You'll also find re-solicited something that was there last month, and this is John Lewis, Andrew Aiden, and Nate Powell's March Book 2. And also, March Book 1 is re-solicited. But you can also find the book that inspired March, and that is Martin Luther King and the Montgomery Story. This was something that came out a long, long time ago in the Silver Age, written by Alfred Hassler, Benton Resnick, with art by Benton Resnick. And this is actually the comic that inspired John Lewis to start working on March. So all of these comics you can find in the top shelf section on pages 396, and then there's a big ad on 397. You got to check them out. John, thanks a lot for doing this podcast episode every month. I have a good time doing this. Guys, take care. I hope to see you next month.
This was another big month for me, and I still need to do a full deep pass through previews, because there's a couple items I just need to take another look at and decide on. Like that UFOology or UFOlogy or however that's pronounced. That one looks potentially interesting, but my order is already at, let's see, after discount, $593.54. And the scary part is that's not including that Commandy Artist Edition, which is really tempting to get, but that add probably another $100 to my order. So got to think about those things. Breakdown for my order is 4 items right now from Dark Horse, 52 from DC, 8 from IDW, 25 from Image, 83 from Marvel, 34 from the back half. That puts Marvel at over 40% of my order, DC a little above a quarter of my order, and then everything else kind of takes the rest. A lot of great stuff coming out, just a matter of finding the right things and figuring out, you know, if it's in the budget and stuff. I want to thank everyone who sent in clips this month. Chris, David, Derek, Drew, Mike, Mo, and TJ. Thanks a lot. episode would have been a lot shorter without you guys, that's for sure. I appreciate all the clips and just the different points of view, and there are a couple of things I may end up adding to my order as a result of this. Which, you know, hey, that's the whole point of these things, help people find what they're looking for. And of course, to do that, we have an open submission policy. It's not hard to just sit at the computer, or you can even do it with your smartphone these days. Just get something that can record audio, record a short clip saying, I'm interested in this thing by this publisher. If you know the preview's page number, awesome. If not, not a big deal. I can figure out where it goes in the episode. Share your love of comics. This helps the creators of the comics, it helps the publishers of the comics, it helps retailers, it helps other readers. I mean, this is just a win-win all the way around. The next previews is going to come out on Wednesday, February 25th. That is also the due date for the DCBS order. I believe local retail shops need to have their orders in by around the 18th. So check with, if you're shopping at a local store, check when they need the information. The whole point of pre-ordering is so they can order accurately. That helps those stores out so much. Because for most comics, they're only going to get, you know, a handful to, you know, a dozen or something in. I mean, obviously, if it's a Convergence, if it's a Secret Wars, if it's a Batman title, they're going to get lots of those. But everything they get that they can't sell eats into their potential profits. And when you've got 10 copies or less on a title, it only takes a copy or two to turn a book from profitable to not so much. So if your store's got a pull list, that's why. Work with your store, help them out. That way, when you say, hey, I need these things, or can you find me this, they're in a position to help you. It's just, it's good for everybody. So the deadline for the next preview spotlight is going to be Saturday, March 7th. And that's the crack of dawn, or, you know, at least before I start editing the episode and such. Getting things at least posted on the forum so I know how many things to expect really helps. It allows me to budget my time and figure out about how long of an episode this is going to be. And these episodes can't succeed without your help. So please send in clips. I hope you all found stuff that you can enjoy and want to buy and stuff, and that this was beneficial for you. Because again, there are hundreds of pages and previews. It's not uncommon for me to have to go email DCBS saying, you know, as I was filling out this order, I noticed what I missed in last month. And part of why I do these episodes is to kind of cut down on the odds of that happening for me. Deadline for next time is March 7th. The next previews comes out on February 25th. Usually about a week before that, stuff's available online. We're already starting to see DC and Marvel start to leak some of the solicits for upcoming months with what's happening after Convergence and stuff like that. So, you know, you don't need to wait to the last minute. As soon as you've got a clip that you want to send in, by all means, do so. And feel free to send in as many as you want. If we wind up with some overlap, we get some overlap. That's fine. There's so many things that are going to be coming out in the coming months, particularly after Convergence, with all the stuff going on at Marvel. Image has a bunch of new titles. It's already easy for things to get lost in the mix, and I think over the course of 2015, it's looking like it's going to get even easier for people to get overwhelmed by the number of choices. So if we can help people find what they're most interested in and will get the most enjoyment out of, they can spend their dollars the best for them. And that's, again, like I said, a win for everybody. So I hope everyone enjoyed this episode, and please send in clips next time around.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.